This is Poetry Off the Shelf from the Poetry Foundation, December 1st, 2010. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, The Real People in a Robert Lowell Poem. A great many poems are written to specific people, or about specific people, which may or may not be flattering to those people, not to mention the friends and family of those people. In the 1960s and 70s, Robert Lowell was probably the country's best-known and most central poet. A confessional poet, he wrote frequently about himself, of course, and about his friends and family. One of his subjects was Frank Parker, a chum from school, and later an artist who illustrated Lowell's books.
This is my oldest friend, really, Frank Parker, who draws pictures for my books, and was mugged and quite sick 2 years ago. Now it's not, but it's a sort of school days reminiscing poem.
Here to listen to this poem with us is Diantha Parker, Frank Parker's daughter. Diantha also happens to be the narrator of our Essential American Poets podcast, and she has written a piece about her father and Lowell that's up on our website, poetryfoundation.org. So, Diantha, before we hear Lowell read the poem, give us a thumbnail sketch of your father's relationship with him.
Well, they met at school.
High school, right?
Well, yeah, it was prep school. It was actually boarding school. So they both started there when they were maybe 12 or 13. And they were not particularly popular. And they recognized something in each other, I think. You know, first of all, if you're not popular at a boys' school in the 1930s and you're not that sporty, and it was a pretty rough place. And I think that they were both sort of traumatized by the experience in a lot of ways. They became very close. Their families got to know each other. They lived near each other in Boston, you know, when they weren't at school. And they remained really, really close.
So we'll talk more about their relationship, but I wanted to play the poem. But is there anything that you know that we should know to help us understand this particular poem?
I think one thing I would say is that it really is a lot about Lowell himself. And when I first read it, and for many years, I really felt it was about my dad. It's, you know, to Frank Parker. And it's one of a few poems that have his name in the title.
Right.
But in many ways, I've come to understand that it really is much more about Lowell himself. And it makes me feel, in some ways, better about it. But also, it's still really sad.
All right, let's hear the poem. And this, as your piece tells us, was the last poem Lowell read at the last poetry reading he ever gave before he died in 1977.
To Frank Parker. 40 years ago, we were here, where we are now. The same erotic May wind blew the trees from there to here. The same tang of metal in the mouth, the dirt-pierced wood of Cambridge. Sometimes you are so much younger than your face. I know I am seeing your old face, the hampered Henry James mockery of your stutter, your daily fear of choking, dying. In school, loudness, not words, gave character to the popular boy's voice. We looked in the face of the other for what we were. Once, in the common record heat of June in Massachusetts, we sat by the school pool, talking out the soul-lit night, and listened to the annual, unsuffering voice of the tree frogs, green, aimless, and wakened. I want to write. I want to paint. Was it I wanted you to paint? Age is another species, the nothing voiced. The very old made grandfather look vulgarly young when he drove me to feed them at their home. We will have their thoughtful look, as if uncertain who had led our lives. Wherever there's grass, there's pollen, the asthma of high summer, the inclination to drink, not eat. Let us go into the garden, or should I say the yard? He says that. Why have you said this twice, Frank? The garden has no flowers, no choice of color. The thick red clump of grass thins to red clay. like an Indian's shaved and tufted head, or yours. We once claimed alliance with the redskin. What is won by surviving if two glasses of red wine are poison? Thank you.
That was Robert Lowell reading to Frank Parker. The recording comes courtesy of the Woodbury Poetry Room at Harvard. Now, the weirdest thing about this poem to me, Diantha, is that it sounds like an elegy, even though your father was very much alive when he wrote it. Isn't that odd?
Yeah, it is odd. I've talked to someone else, many people about it, including my mom, and I think Day by Day, the book that this comes from, is full of poems like this that are goodbyes to people who have already died or that he feels that he's not going to see again in some way. And the poem does sort of fit in with this look back at the past. And I understand now that it's not about my father's unwellness, you know, but it's really that he's feeling like he's not going to see him shortly. I think he's afraid of his own death. There's that line at the end.
What is won by surviving if two glasses of red wine are poison?
Okay, this really bothered me because my father really struggled with alcohol and got sober. Lowell is referring to himself because earlier, before writing this poem or around this time, he had collapsed at a party because he was taking some medication, which he wasn't supposed to drink when he was taking it. And he actually went unconscious at this party.
Lowell did.
Mm-hmm. Right. So what is won by surviving if two glasses of red wine are poison for me?
Right.
You know, it's maybe something I really thought, gee, that's so... I was so sensitive to that at the moment, and it totally doesn't have anything to do with him.
So you have a history of reading this poem. You probably stumbled across it when you were much, much younger. And you probably were looking for something that wasn't there in the poem then. You were looking for your father.
Yeah, and reading anything about him is kind of fascinating. And and you are looking for recognizable glimpses of somebody that you know, to kind of justify your own experience. Or what do other people think of this person that I'm close to,
and sure.
Am I going to find something out about him?
And so read the poem in that way. Did you find out anything about your father from this poem?
I love that thing at the beginning where they're sitting by the pool.
Once, in the common record heat of June in Massachusetts, we sat by the school pool, talking out the soul-lit night, and listened to the annual, unsuffering voice of the tree frogs, green, aimless, and wakened. I want to write. I want to paint. Was it I wanted you to paint?
That moment where he says, you know, I want to write, I want to paint, which is in quotations.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Then the next part.
Was it I wanted you to paint?
I was like, no, it was not you. It was totally not about you.
Mm.
My father was drawing and painting all his life.
And there's also this wonderful line of listening to the annual unsuffering voices of the tree frogs.
Green, aimless, and wakened. I want to write. I want to paint.
He's humorously mocking his own, he and your father's artistic ambitions as the unsuffering croaking of frogs. You know?
Yeah,
that's kind of wonderful.
Yeah,
and,
I know.
And funny. There is this incredibly lovely line he stumbled over in his reading.
We looked in the face of the other for what we were.
That is such a beautiful line about adolescent friendship when you're really struggling for identity. You're looking to see yourself in your friend's face, in your friend's eyes. That's a really beautiful line. Does that touch you now?
Yeah, it really does. And I think there's a couple of readings of that, which even just listening to it now, I thought about this. We looked in the face of the other for what we were, meaning I look in your face for what I am and you look in my face for what you are. But also this idea of, you know, 40 years ago, we were here where we are now. You know, we looked in the face of the other for that person that we used to be 40 years ago. I mean, I kind of hear it both ways. I think there's two interpretations of it.
Yeah, because he starts the poem.
40 years ago, we were here where we are now. The same erotic May wind blew the trees from there to here.
So he's obviously in the same room or in the same place with your father.
I think they're actually at our house.
Okay.
Possibly in our yard, and which I can also talk about.
But what else bothers you about this poem as the daughter of Frank Parker?
The other thing that I wondered about is the line about...
Let us go into the garden, or should I say the yard? He says that. Why have you said this twice, Frank?
Now, where does that take place? Does that take place in the present tense of the poem, or is that in the past? I didn't know what to make of that.
Yeah, that's been read various ways. But for me, my sense of that is they're at our house in Cambridge, mm-hmm. and we have a yard, a garden at our house. And in the 70s, it was kind of a patch of grass and, you know, maybe some few things my mother had planted, but, you know, not terribly special. But the other thing about that is that my grandmother on my mother's side, so my father's mother-in-law, was from Philadelphia. Mm. And to my father's mind, had a strong Philadelphia accent, meaning that she said her R's very strongly, and he doesn't say his R's, or he didn't say his R's.
Right.
She would say yard. And I think that this is something that he was just kind of a joke that he would repeat in his mind. He'd say, shall we go into the garden, or shall I say the yard?
That is such an inside joke.
It is so, and I'm, when I read that, I was like, oh, he's just imitating Ma, my grandmother, his mother-in-law. And he could have said that just as a knee-jerk thing. Mm-hmm. And I could see Lowell being like, what are you saying? And I don't know why.
And then he says,
why have you said this twice, Frank?
Right.
As if suggesting that maybe he's a little drunk? Is that the way you read it?
Maybe. Uh-huh. Yeah. The glasses of red wine that we get to later. I was like, it kind of makes him seem a little bit foolish. Does he really see him as sort of a figure of fun? I don't actually think that is necessarily the right interpretation. I think that he felt incredibly affectionately toward my dad. But the poem is not... It is not a very nice poem. I mean, it doesn't seem like a poem that you would write about someone that you really, really love.
It doesn't have a lot of affection in it. Lowell was a famously difficult human being to himself as well as to his wives and friends. And your father was very aware of that. And you have some tape that's based on some TV interviews that your father did about Robert Lowell for British television. And he specifically goes into the difficulties or the unlovableness of Robert Lowell.
Yeah, and that's a tough piece of tape, I think, because I think you can really hear that he's struggling with this idea.
Why did anyone love Lowell? The most, other people's, his own account, the most unlovable man that ever on the face of the earth. Here's this man who commands affection and respect and has changed lives, and yet when we're asked chapter and verse, all we can do is tell stories about how dreadful he is. It's trying to get the other that's so hard. And I can only say that it is that the world became larger, that Rembrandt somehow things glowed, that Beethoven, you know, everything became more when we were doing it.
He's grasping to say, look, this guy was difficult, and that's kind of his brand now. Like, Robert Lowell's brand is that he was hard to live with, and he was mean, and all this. And that actually is so not, I have a feeling, what he was like 90% of the time. I just think that knowing him must have been so different, and that's something that my dad felt really strongly about.
Diantha Parker, thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
You can read Diantha Parker's piece on her father and Robert Lowell on our website, poetryfoundation.org, where you can also find her narrating the Essential American Poets podcast. Just click on audio and podcast or subscribe to it in the iTunes store. Let us know what you think of this program, where our motto is...
Sometimes you are so much younger than your face.
Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The theme music for this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For Poetry Off the Shelf, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.